Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Okay, so I'm looking at a bucket list of the unforgettable travel list that people searched for over the past year. And the top 10 places that were, you know, the bucket list of lists, visiting the Khalifa in Dubai, the Burj Khalifa or whatever, B-U-R-J Khalifa in Dubai, sailing around the Statue of Liberty, hiking to Mount Everest Base Camp, cruising the Nile in Egypt, going to the top of the Eiffel Tower, the Las Vegas Strip, crossing the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, seeing NYC from the top of the Empire State Building, the Louvre in Paris, the Colosseum in Rome. Wow, some of these I've actually already done. Amazing. Incredible. I would like to see the Colosseum in person. I did not know man could build such things. Name that movie. And I was surprised that number six was the Las Vegas Strip. And then I see a tweet from Vital Vegas that says, hey, in Vegas, it's not about how much money you made. It's about the memories you made. Is it? And remember, I mean, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? But then I see a story talking about a woman who won $8 million from a slot machine, but oh no, not so fast. The casino refused to pay. And then there's a long list of times that people have won money, substantial amounts of money, that the casino refused to pay because well, there was a glitch in the machine, and that's not right. And there's no way that the machine would ever give out that much money if it was working properly. So we're not giving you the money. Have a nice day. In fact, here's a steak. Get out. I mean, okay. So what better way to say you liked Vegas than remembering it's not about how much money you made. It's about the memories you made. Isn't that the story of your life, really? Yes, it's not just Vegas. It's the story of your life. It's not about how much money you made. It's about the memories you made. Oh, man. How warm deep down inside do you feel now? Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat.
Zaila Avant-Garde to win the 93rd Scripps National Spelling Bee.
So that was round 17. And now, Zaila Avant-Garde, if you spell this next word correctly, we will declare you the 2021 Scripps National Spelling Bee champion.
Nice. Come on, Zaila. You can do it.
The word is Maria. It's a genus of tropical Asiatic and Australian trees having pinnate leaves and flowers with imbricated petals.
Duh.
Maria.
Maria. Does this word contain like the English name Mary, which could be the name of a comedian, or just the English name in general?
I don't see that here. Bill Murray made the spelling bee.
Maria.
It tells you she's on the right track, though.
Wait, what is the language version?
It's formed in Latin from a Swedish name.
Mary. Muraya. M-U-R-R-A-Y-A.
That is correct.
Yay! I mean, yay! Congratulations. Congratulations to Azalea Avant-Garde for the Scripps National Spelling Bee winner. Good for you. Congratulations. You win $50,000 and cash in cash and prizes. And I got to thinking, wait, what are the $50,000 cash and prizes? What do you get? So I went, I'm looking at the website, and I couldn't find anything, but I finally found a list of what they get. So all the spellers get prize package with bee souvenirs. That's a refrigerator magnet, participation certificate, 1 year subscription to Merriam-Webster Unabridged Online, 1 year subscription to Britannica Online Premium, 2021 U.S. Mint Proof Set. All of them get that participated in this. The quarterfinalists get a commemorative pin and a $100 gift card, plus that first list. The semifinalists get the commemorative medal and a $500 gift card, and the finalists get a commemorative medal up to and including 7th place, $2,000, and then 6th is $2,500, 5th is $5,000, 4th is $10,000, 3rd place is $15,000, 2nd place is $25,000, and the champion, who was Azalea Avant-Garde, gets $50,000 cash from Scripps National Spelling Bee, gets a commemorative medal, gets the Scripps Cup Trophy, gets $2,500 cash prize from Merriam-Webster, gets a reference library. I'm not sure what the reference library is. Is that like the internet? $400 of reference works from Encyclopedia Britannica. 3 year membership to Britannica Online Premium. School and sponsor will get engraved plaques. Oh, that is so incredible. They get the plaques to the schools. Yay! So that's what they win for doing this, which is, you know, good for her. Now, she's also, get this. This really ticks me off about this girl. So she's the first African-American to win the prize. She's 14 years old from New Orleans. So congratulations. She spelled, you heard her spell the word M-U-R-A-Y-A, which, you know, good for her. There's no way I could have done that. The runner-up is from Frisco, Texas, right here in the DFW area. And they're coached by the same coach. They're both coached by this, is he from Harvard? I think he's from Harvard, a 20-year-old Harvard guy who coached them both, and he won back in 2015. Yeah, the 20-year-old Yale. Oh, man, he's mad at me now because I said he went to Harvard. He went to Yale. Sorry. He's going to Yale. He's a Yale student. But he won. He was the Scripps runner-up in 2015, Cole Schaefer Ray. He was the coach for Azalea and Thamalia from Frisco. So, I mean, he had the champion and the runner-up under his coaching belt, so he's got a new gig. But the thing that ticks me off the most about this kid, this 14-year-old girl from Louisiana, she has 3 Guinness World Records. I don't know if I'm mad, I'm jealous, I'm angry, the whole thing, all right? So she's got she's a basketball star, all right? She plays basketball, and she's, she's a big star in junior high school basketball. So her Guinness World Records revolve around basketballs, and she has the most balls juggled in 1 minute with 4 basketballs. She has most dribbles in 30 seconds with 4 basketballs. Most basketballs dribbled by 1 person simultaneously, 6. So she's got 3 Guinness records. And now she's the spelling bee champ from Scripps, and she won another spelling bee a while ago that she won $10,000 at. So congratulations to Zalia Avantgarde, because you are a happening young lady, man. That is, she's got a great future in front of her. And I love that she was really grateful for the whole thing. And she also said how important spelling was to her and how important spelling should be to all people in school and what it meant to her. And they tried to, of course, I mean, we're already getting broken down because of race. And she's, you know, she's the first African-American. She can't just be the, you know, the champion. Can't just be the 14-year-old girl from a Louisiana. You know, she's the first African-American to win it. And the only previous black winner was Jody Ann Maxwell of Jamaica in 1998. Okay. So Azalea also breaks a streak dating back to 2008, during which at least one champion or co-champion was of South Asian descent. Oh, okay. So we'll just go with that, okay? She said that... she said, yeah, I didn't really care about spelling as a little kid, but apparently her dad, when she was 10, 4 years ago, said was watching the National Spelling Bee competition, and when it was over, he quizzed her on the winning words, and he said she spelled nearly all of them correctly. And I said, wow, my girl is a speller. And off they went again. So it's kind of a side hobby to her. She's a basketball prodigy who hopes to play someday in the WNBA. Yeah, I think you're gonna make it, no problem. I believe that you're gonna make it. All right, I have faith in you, Zalia, that you're going to make it. Anyway, congratulations to Zalia and your Spelling Bee Championships. And I'd like to say congratulations to you for your Guinness World Records, but all right, congratulations. I don't know. Do I still have to be happy for her, though? All right, I'll be happy for her. That's fine. Welcome to Fat Pile Friday on Chewing the Fat. Thanks for coming along for the ride today. Remember, you can always follow me on Twitter at JeffyJFR, Facebook and Instagram, Jeff Fisher Radio. Parler is Jeff Fisher Radio, is if it's even a thing anymore. And Getter, the new Getter, is at JeffyJFR as well. So I haven't really posted anything but a hello there, but hey, I'm on there, so good news. And, of course, if you're listening to this right now and you're not a subscriber to the show and you're just kind of freeloading, you need to turn your life around a little bit and become a subscriber to this podcast, Chewing the Fat. You can use the platform that you're listening on, or you can choose one that, you know, you like better, and you can become a subscriber there. And then, of course, you can rate and review it if your platform allows it. And, of course, you want to review it 20 stars, best podcast ever. That's all you have to do. That's all I want to do. I know you're busy, so just subscribe. And then if your platform allows you to rate and review it, go ahead, 20 stars, best podcast ever. So, you know, other people become aware of it, and it works. Now, I've talked about this before, some of the, you know, emails that I get every day from different companies, and they're, you know, they send a list of their top stories, and whether it's in business or politics or just everyday stuff other than business and politics, which is turning into everyday stuff. There's one that I get, it's called The Morning Brew. And they always have this bit at least, I think, once a week or maybe more. And if they do one that I like, I share it with you. And this one is called, you know, they call it three headlines and a lie. Okay. I mean, there's four headlines. One of them is a lie. I don't know what sounds better, three headlines and a lie or four headlines, one of them is a lie. But you can decide which headline. They liked three headlines and a lie. That's what they use. So can you spot the fake headline out of the four headlines? All right. Three of them are true. One of them is a lie. And I just want to see how you're doing on the news stories, okay? Headline number one, mayor of Texas town accidentally sells high school for $790,000. Headline number two, Teletubbies announced they have received COVID-19 vaccines and prompt hilarious reactions. Headline number three, world's first elderly sex robot with wrinkles and silver hair created by Real Doll. Headline number four, cop played Taylor Swift's song hoping YouTube's copyright system would block BLM protesters' video, ploy backfires. Those four headlines, which one is a lie? I'll give you a second. Da, 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 da. Oh, wait, that's another game show. Yes, you were correct if you chose Mayor of Texas Town Accidentally Sells High School for $790,000. Yeah, that really didn't happen. We had the water tower sold in Brooksville, Florida, but no mayor of Texas is accidentally selling their high school for $790,000. Teletubbies announced they received the COVID-19 vaccines. A cop played Taylor Swift's song, hoping YouTube's copyright system would block BLM protesters' video. He's not the only one that's done that. That's a pretty slick move by the police officers, and of course people are pissed. But it's a pretty slick move because these people come up and start hollering at them and yelling at them, and so they play this Taylor Swift song, and some of the other police officers were using other songs. But they wanted, you know, all these people are filming, so they figured that it would get blocked on YouTube if they started playing the music because it would get, you know, copyright laws. And YouTube is like, yeah, no. And so it backfired, and the people are still pissed at them. It's just amazing. The police officers can't win. How about the police officers just let it all roll and be good cops? I know it's tough. I know it's tough. But just put your camera on, and we see what happens, and we know the hate that you face every day. And we're with you, okay? So just let that happen. Although funny and a good idea, just let it happen. And I know the one police department, oh, there's no rule against it, but we firmly disagree with it. Do ya? Okay, fine. You know, there'll be a rule against it very soon. And the world's first elderly sex robot with wrinkles and silver hair, created by Real Doll. Now, you know, as an avid listener, if you are, to Chewing the Fat, I am a fan of Real Doll. They were one of the, you know, they're on the cutting edge of dolls for your pleasure. And they've been on the cutting edge of that for a number of years now. And they have now created, it was a special design of an old guy, of an older man, an elderly man, as a sex robot, and they, you know, were joking around about it. But I'm surprised that that wasn't a thing already, to be honest with you. I know it's a niche market, but I'm really surprised that it's not a thing already with older female sex robots. And they call them sex, they're calling them sex robots now because, wow, Real Doll is more of more than just a doll now. I mean, they're robotic, and they are really advanced, and they're more advanced than ever right now. And so it's actually kind of scary. I mean, I know that it's good, and you can say, yeah, but Jeff, Real Dolls, take a look at them. I know. But they're turning into, you know, they're trying to make it so that it's more human-like and yet still a doll. But with the robotics, you're getting into a little scary territory. And they're trying to walk that line gracefully, for sure. All right, let's go to the break room. It's Fat Pile Friday. I'm thirsty. I need something cold to drink. Maybe my ice-cold beverage will work. Oh, yes, there it is. Oh, man.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
All right. Remember we talked at length about the Sharon Stone book and all her stories and memories about Hollywood? Well, remember we talked about her remembrance of her scene in Basic Instinct when she, you know, crossed her legs without the panties on, and her, you know, remembrance of this. Her memory of this was that, you know, she was told that we're going to do this. You can't see anything. Don't worry about it. And then afterward, she realized that you could see her vagina and got mad and then went home and realized, that was me. I still did it. So I went with it. Yeah, it was only the scene that made you world famous. Wouldn't want to have that scene in a movie. Well, the man, Paul Verhoeven, who was the director of the movie, he said, and I am sure that he was not asked about it while the book was out because, you know, Sharon wants to sell books. But now he's at a film festival and they talked to him about it. And he said, her recollection of filming that scene really is impossible. That famous leg crossing scene was based on a woman I knew as a student. And we decided that we would do a similar sequence. So it was completely made up. He said that she knew exactly what we were doing. I told her it was based on a story of a woman that I knew when I was a student who did the crossing of her legs without panties regularly at parties. When my friend told her we could see her vagina, she said, "Of course, that's why I do it." Then Sharon and I decided to do a similar sequence. So when contacted, Sharon's representative didn't respond to Variety's asking about it. So anyway, it's just, you know, Sharon trying to sell books, and it worked. It worked. Fascinating. I mean, her other stories were really good, too. And if I ever run across a free copy, I'll read it. But for right now, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. Britney Spears has posted a message to her haters on her Instagram. She posted a picture and she said, while you're talking behind my back, feel free to bend down and kiss my ass. Okay, Brit, no problem. And then there was another pic that she took of her back and her neck, and she talked about so I edited out my tattoo on my neck because I wanted to see what it would look like clean, and yeah, I like it better. So while you guys are talking behind my back, go ahead and kiss my ass, haters. I mean, Britney is getting a little wound up. Really wound up. She posted a little picture, a drawing, which I guess is her. And the caption is, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Pass, you better effing believe it." Or psst, not pass, duh. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Psst, you better effing believe it." Okay, Brit, here's the deal. If you want to lose the conservatorship, stop posting stuff. All right, maybe you post your vacation in Hawaii, maybe not. But I say just let it go. Every once in a while, post a picture of yourself, I don't know, drinking tea, something, doing something in the backyard, something like that. What do you think? Just take it easy. Because she has another hearing set up. It's a conservatorship hearing on the 14th, next week. But I don't know what they're trying to make happen on this one because her manager withdrew. The court-appointed attorney withdrew. I know that the co-conservatorship said this. Jody Montgomery, the singer's co-conservator, told the court that she's been getting death threats ever since Spears spoke out against the conservatorship last month. Okay, here's the deal. And I just saw some pictures on some of the news channels of all the people with their Free Britney posters, signs, and they're dressing up like Britney on the street. And, you know, they're in front of the courthouse. And okay, so Britney has to apply to get rid of the conservatorship, okay? And she, I don't believe she's done that. Now, maybe that's happened since the last time, and maybe that's what we're heading into at this next hearing next week. But for now, the conservatorship stands, and she hasn't fought that. She's just fought what the conservatorship has done to her. She hasn't tried to get rid of it. And let's also remember in that original testimony, she talked about being on put on lithium, but she was put on lithium saying that she was changing. They changed her meds. So she's already on a bunch of medicines, okay? So maybe she knows that she needs the help. She just doesn't like the help that she's been getting. And if the reports are true that her dad has been this nightmare human being that it appears that he is, you know, it's time that he has to go. The judge, however, didn't see it that way. So, but my point is that I saw these people on the streets and I'm okay. I think it's good and it shows your support. And it's funny with the hashtag Free Britney on the internet and your social media accounts. Okay. All right. I'll give you that. But what does it do for you to be out in front of the courthouse dressed like Britney Spears with your Free Britney sign? Zero. Do you think Britney's going to stop and say, oh, hi. Hello. She wasn't even there. First of all, she was at home. It was just a special remote feed online. Okay. She wasn't even there. But if she were to show up, do you believe that Britney would get out of the car and say, oh, hey, hi, guys. Thank you for your support. I really appreciate it. No, she would say, hey, buy a ticket to my next show and come and see me, okay? Come on now. I appreciate your support of Britney, but take it a little bit easier, okay? Just take it a little bit easier. Just she's not going to – you dressing up like Britney with a Free Britney sign out in front of the courthouse – not going to make a difference, okay? Here's an idea. There's plenty of jobs opening. Go out and find one. It's just a thought from me and Chewing the Fat. Did you see also the massive explosion in Dubai? The ship container that blew up, and there was a video of the explosion from a balcony quite a ways away, but you could see it explode. And I guess there was a fire in one of the containers and then it exploded and they got it under control. And I believe that no one was hurt, or at least they didn't report anyone that was hurt. And it was, you know, you could see it for miles around Dubai. But all I could think of was the documentary with Denzel Washington. I know. So all I could think of was that documentary with Denzel, The Equalizer. If you remember, that's the first episode of the first movie of the documentary where he explodes the one ship. And I thought, okay, Denzel is in town. Oh, yeah. And did you see they released a bunch of exclusive photos of Bill Cosby's first moments of freedom since he was released from prison last week? He was sitting in his bedroom on his bed in his prison uniform. He was relaxing on his sofa while eating pizza. He said that he had an interview, and Cosby's close friend and spokesperson, Andrew Wyatt, shared the inside story of his release and the hours that followed. Wyatt said Cosby's first words while getting into the car that would take him from prison to his home in Pennsylvania were, Andrew, is this a dream? Because he was sleeping. Remember, I mean, that's how fast it happened. Just amazing. Now, we talked also about him not being with his wife, right? They have like four homes. They've got a home in Pennsylvania and one in Massachusetts and one in California and one in New York. And she was in the home in Massachusetts and didn't come back to the Pennsylvania home when he was released. Well, according to this, Cosby had not wanted to see his wife or his daughters because he didn't want them to see him as a prisoner. So, okay. So then, and then he got went home and he had his pizza and relaxed and showered up and washed prison off. And then went up to meet the wife in Massachusetts. And Wyatt described the reunion with Camille as like watching teenage love. The way she touched him and said, Billy, he said, my dear Camille. Oh, yeah. Oh, it must have been heartwarming. Just heartwarming. He could have had anything money could buy. But after nearly 3 years of incarceration, former inmate NN7687 didn't want anything fancy. Instead, he just wanted to be in his own home on his own sofa, eating a slice of his favorite pizza. Okay, thanks, Bill. I'm sorry, former inmate NN7687. No problem. Speaking of prisoners, though, Avenatti, Michael Avenatti, headed to jail. Have a nice day. Take care. 2.5 years. Sentenced to 30 months in prison for the Nike extortion scheme. He gets 30 years in prison, and I think he still has, then he's going to go to on parole for 2.5 years after that. So I don't know if he gets out early or not with this sentence. The 30 months, maybe he gets out early. I don't know. But even when he gets out early, then he has to, and it's a must probation, according to the one story I read. So, I mean, the guy is a dirtbag. And he's been ripping his clients off for a long time. And let's not forget that he still has like 2 or 3 other cases that are going to go to trial. So he may end up in jail for longer, tacked onto these other trials. I mean, he's got one case with Stormy Daniels, and he's got another case, I think, with the paraplegic that he was defrauding money out of. I mean, he's got wire fraud charges, failure to collect and withhold payroll taxes, attempting to obstruct the IRS, failing to file tax returns, aggravated identity fraud, bank fraud, false testimony under oath during bankruptcy. I mean, wow. He's going down again for that. And what he did to that client of his, I mean, it's always bad when you're defrauding clients. I get it. But the paraplegic guy won this settlement of, I think, $4 or $5 million. And Michael just never gave him the money. And he would just dole out a little bit at a time. Whenever the guy really was broke and needed money, he would go over and say, here's an envelope with some cash. Get out of here. But the rest of the time, he was using it to pay off other people and, you know, live a life of luxury off of that money. That's kind of like, I don't know, it's called, what do they call that other than, you know, defrauding clients, you know, like a Ponzi scheme where you just keep getting clients and money from clients and you spend that money on the other ones. So it never works out well. And it doesn't seem to have worked out well for Michael Avenatti.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Well, it looks like it's official. There will not be fans at the Tokyo Olympics. And I told you yesterday, my prediction is these Olympics are going to get canceled. But, now it's looking more like they're not going to be canceled, but it's going to be hardcore nobody there. And everybody's going to be distanced because, you know, they got there. They've got the torch lit now. There was no one running or there to, you know, applaud when the torch was lit. They just showed some of the competitors on the platform with the torch. They met with the head of the Olympics, and I would bet, although I never saw it reported, that NBC was a part of that as well. I mean, they've got, you know, millions, if not billions, invested in this, in the Olympics. So even with no fans, it makes it a little bit better for them because everybody's going to be watching on all their platforms. And they already said they had, what, I think it was 7,000 hours of programming throughout the Olympics on all of their platforms. But now official, you know, began where the officials pushed back the event an entire year. Then they put a cap on the number of spectators. But now 2 weeks before the Olympics start, Japan declared a state of emergency because of the rise in COVID-19 cases. And Olympic organizers are now banning fans from the Tokyo area stadiums and arenas. Wow, that's going to cost somebody a lot of money. Athletes, journalists, and staff are not required to be fully vaxxed to enter the country. Still, the IOC estimated that about 80% of those sporting or reporting have gotten the vaccine. But only 15% of Japan's population have been vaccinated. That's pretty strange. Officials have blamed the slow rollout on a shortage of doctors and nurses and because it needs to import all of its vaccines. Wow. So, I mean, they're really concerned about letting fans attend and making things worse in Japan, especially with the Delta variant, which is very contagious and on the rise. And at least two members of the Ugandan team have tested positive for the Delta variant upon arriving in Japan. Oh, wow. I'm telling you, it still may get canceled. I think my prediction is still going to hold true. Because if more Olympic athletes test positive, either prior to or at the time of arrival in Japan, they'll shut it down and they'll just cancel it. Sorry, not going to happen. You're going to turn it on one of those NBC platforms and it's going to be nothing there. We're sorry, NBC is unable to broadcast the Olympics because they don't exist. Go to NBC.com and catch our new shows. That's all it's going to be, man. Holy cow. So we'll see. They've made changes now to the opening ceremony. And, you know, now everybody is talking about, oh, my gosh, should we get back to normal? Well, you know, yeah, I guess we should. I mean, we are in America. That's for sure. Americans have had enough. No question. I mean, well, you look at the TSA turnstiles. Now they're back to 2 million. I mean, we talked about it a week or so ago. I mean, we're already, you know, yesterday on the 8th of July 2021, if you're listening live today on the 9th of July, they had over 2 million travelers through the TSA turnstiles. Now back in 2019, way back in 2019, they had 2,600,000. So they're not back to pre-pandemic levels, but they're pretty close. However, you saw, and I don't know if you did, but I mean, over the 4th of July weekend, you had a huge number of flights canceled all over the country, and DFW had the most canceled flights in the world. In the world. I will say, I was driving home from these very studios the other day down the interstate. It's 114 that goes by DFW, and it's the main interstate that flights usually fly into DFW. But sometimes, depending on wind and weather, they fly out. But most of the time, the flights are flying into DFW over 114. And you see where they have... DFW has about four or five strips that are used when as needed, and usually three main ones are used. So if you look up into the sky just for a moment, because you want to get your eyes back on the road because you're driving on the interstate, and it just isn't safe. But if you look up, you can see you know, how they have them all rode up, ready to land. And you can look back and you see, you know, maybe three or four planes all rode up, ready to come in. And three deep, three rows, three deep. And the other night I'm coming home and there's those three rows all rode up, three deep, getting ready to land. And then the other two off to the side were two deep, ready to land. I mean, they were cranking. Flights were cranking. But apparently over the 4th of July weekend, sorry, and specifically that Friday afternoon going into the 4th of July weekend, they had 135 flights canceled, 458 flights delayed. Oh, wow. That's the most in the world. American Airlines had canceled 138 flights. Southwest canceled 194 on Friday. Now, Southwest doesn't fly into DFW, though. They fly into Love Field, which is another, which is in Dallas proper. And it's not far from DFW, but it is a separate airline. And now I believe we have the train that connects both of them. And I don't know if it's a direct feed. I got to find out direct if it's actually a direct feed from DFW to Love Field and Love Field to DFW. And you really don't care. I know. I'm looking. You're looking at me now like, Jeff, I don't care. What about those kids on the American Airlines flight departing from Charlotte? And they were going to go to the Bahamas, but they wouldn't wear masks. So they all got kicked off. And in fact, the flight got canceled until the next day. What about those? How about those punks? Well, the flight originally was delayed due to mechanical issues. Now, that caused passengers to be put on a new plane. And once they boarded the new plane, the passengers, this is the story. Passengers reported that a group of high schoolers started cursing, yelling, and refusing to put on their masks. How about you sit in your plane seat, B2, and zip it, and let the kids be who they are? Come on now, were they really bothering you? Some people's vacations are ruined. They were only going for a couple of nights. Now they have to get rebooked. Oh, no. So, of course, American Airlines has their face-covering policy. And they're, the airline makes exceptions for customers with disabilities if proper documentation is provided in advance and a negative COVID test is given. So you got to let them know like 8 weeks in advance with proper documentation stamped. It's just ridiculous, but that's their disclaimer. Oh, of course, we let people fly all the time without masks. Do ya? So anyway, these kids were unhappy, and they've been canceled. They're just high school kids. They're punks. And maybe somebody should have sat them down and said, "Hey, calm down." But no, they had to, they got everybody off the plane and they canceled it. Then they got all the passengers, were offered hotel vouchers, and the high schoolers had to spend the night at the airport. And then the next morning, after having a conversation with the group, our team confirmed with the customers that they can travel if they agree to comply with the face covering policy. Then, they ultimately agreed and were allowed to continue. So why did they just fly out the night before? You would have saved the company money on your hotel vouchers, and you would have had the people less upset because the original delay was mechanical and was your fault. And the second delay was you arguing with these kids. Why didn't you set them down like you set them down the next day and got them to agree? Of course you got them to agree. Listen, can you wear a mask all the way to the Bahamas, or we're just going to leave you here in the airport for a week? Okay. All right, then. Let's go ahead and put that mask on and hop your little butt onto that airplane. Okay. And oh, by the way, as long as you're on the airplane, shut up.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.
All right, we've got some headlines to get to as well, just to get you into the weekend and into your life on Chewing the Fat. Pfizer is getting ready to ask the FDA for authorization for a third COVID-19 vaccine dose, looking for that booster shot. And oh, by the way, what they need that booster shot for is the Delta variant, which is now the dominant strain of COVID-19 in the U.S., according to the CDC. How come I can't find that out? Are they letting people know that now? Because when they tested me, I didn't get any numbers. That's either positive or negative. But all that information has got to go to the CDC. And if it's going to the CDC, as a citizen of my, and that's my health information, I want it. I don't like it that they're getting this information and not giving it to you. So if I test positive, I'm just positive with COVID-19. But if that information gets sent to the CDC with, like, that's the Delta strain, I just want to know if you know that it's a Delta strain, or are you just saying, well, you tested positive in this window, that's the Delta strain. I don't know. I want to know. I'm going to find out exactly I'm going to find out exactly what the heck is going on. Okay? I don't like it, and I'm going to find out. Did you know that there's a new automaker that's called Stellantis? I think we talked about it, but they own some automobile brands, Jeep, Peugeot. They have just unveiled a $35.5 billion EV plan. Isn't that special? Isn't that special? I wonder how many brands does Stellantis have? They have 4 new electric platforms, 5 gigafactories. That's the Stellantis EV plan. Just laid out its electrification strategy. And when I say fourth largest, I mean they're the fourth largest original equipment manufacturer. But I looked at, you go to their, you see all the brands that Stellantis has under their title? Fiat, Maserati, Jeep, Ram, Chrysler, Alfa Romeo, Dodge, Citroen, DS Automobiles, Peugeot, Vauxhall. I mean, okay. And they're doing okay. Okay, I know. They're the fourth largest. So, all right. It's all under the same roof. Congratulations. Good job. Also, we have Wells Fargo, who says now, and this is a little concerning, they're going to stop offering personal lines of credit to focus on other products. Wait, what? Yeah, the bank is shutting down all existing personal lines of credit in the coming weeks, and no longer offers the product, according to customer letters. The revolving credit lines, which typically let users borrow $3,000 to $100,000, were pitched as a way to consolidate higher interest credit card debt, pay for home renovations, and avoid overdraft fees on linked checking accounts. Wells Fargo warned customers that the account closures may have an impact on your credit score. Really? According to a frequently, that's one of their frequently asked questions on their letters. So they're shutting down all personal lines of customer credit. I wonder what that really means. Does that mean that they're concerned that we're coming to a point when people won't be able to pay back their loans? So they want to get as much money as they can? I don't know. I'm just asking. I don't know. But, you know. If you're a Wells Fargo customer, there you have it. That's something else to be excited about your bank, I'll tell you that. Marvel's Black Widow opens up in North America today, so we'll see how good it does this weekend. See if it beats F9's 70 million launch in the pandemic era release time. But I think it's going to do well, although we'll see. We'll see how it does at the theaters. And then you're able to get it on Disney Plus as well for a separate fee. So you're going to have to get Disney Plus, and then you're going to have to spend money for the Marvel. I think it's like $30. Oof. Okay. Thank you. No problem. Appreciate it. And did you see Sunday? Well, Richard Branson is going up into space. He's going to beat Bezos. He was so pissed that Bezos was going up on the 20th and getting all this press for his space company. Branson is going up on Sunday. He's just going up on the 11th. Yeah, I'm going to go. Because he wasn't originally supposed to go. He was originally supposed to put it off, I think, for another couple of months was the date. I don't remember exactly when he was supposed to go up. But this first trip was supposed to be without him. And he was like, I'm going to go up. And look, it's nothing against Jeff. Jeff is probably fine with it. I'm fine with Jeff going up. It's not a race. Why would you think that? I know, sure, it looks like I'm doing it on purpose to beat Jeff. But I'm not. It looks that way, and it is that way, but I'm not. I love Jeff and everything that he's doing over there at his cute little space thing. But I got to go up first and be the first one in space. You know, I can't tell you how much I want Elon Musk to get in a rocket ship today or tomorrow. You can see us tomorrow, until tomorrow, and just go up into space. Just go and come back and just go, wow, that was fun. I just wanted to see what it was like. All right, we'll talk to you later. And just walk away. Don't even comment about Bezos or Branson. Just go up and film it, put it up on Instagram, shoot it up on Twitter, link everything to Instagram and YouTube, and just, you know, hey, SpaceX, thanks for the ride. I just felt like going into space this afternoon. And then just walk away. just to say, take that. But now, on the other hand, Branson and Bezos are, you know, their companies are doing it for space rides, right? It's the new space ride, because you're able to go up into space, you hang out there for a little while, they take gravity away, you float around, you look at Earth, and then you strap back in and you come back to Earth. And Elon is sending rocket ships to, you know, the moon and the space center and Mars, because he wants to actually move to Mars. So it's a little bit different, and it's got to kill him. Remember we talked about Bezos, who retired this week, at least stepped away from his position on Amazon. And he was saying that, he always wanted to go into space and create all this stuff. But he created his space company 2 years before SpaceX. So it's got to just eat him alive that Elon gets all the press. And now, on top of that, he has Richard Branson slap him down a little bit. You thought you were going to be the first billionaire in space. Did you, Jeff? Nope. Sorry, pal. I'm doing it. But sure. It's not a race, and it just works out that way. It only looks like I'm just doing it on purpose, but not really. Not really. It's just me going up there first, Bezos. So Richard Branson will be the first one. He's just going to be the first one. I hope everything comes out okay. I really do. Because hear me out. What if something goes wrong with Branson's flight and something bad happens, horrific happens? Does Jeff still go up then? Or do they say, maybe we take a pause? I don't know. I'm just asking, because if something really bad happens, oof, man, that's a big loss. And it's a big loss, just a shock to the space community and a shock to the world, because we send people up in space all the time. And China's building their own stupid space station up there now. It's just agonizing. You know, when you look, I was looking at China's space stories. I was looking at the headlines. Where the heck is it? It was because I was thinking about, I saw this story and I thought we had talked about it, where we're going to run into this asteroid, try to knock it off course. And, you know, of course, you make the joke of the documentary and what we do with asteroids. But then I went and I just typed in China space. Okay. China space. China's new space station, what to expect? China picks up the launch pace with 3 space missions in 4 days. China's space station recycles 66 liters of urine in 3 weeks to support crew. China's Chang 5 moon landing site finally has a name. 3 launches in 4 days. China's space program gains new pace, returns to pre-COVID level. What does China's new heavenly palace in space mean for the ISS? In space, China's focus is still defense. In space, China's focus still on defense. I don't like that at all. That makes me, I hope that we are way ahead of them on defense. Chinese astronauts carry out country's first spacewalk outside space station. China is using mythology and sci-fi to sell its space program to the world. Yeah, I'm not buying it. And China's super heavy rocket to construct space-based solar power station. There you go. I mean, they're building. They're just. You know what? I'm going to leave it right there.